You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How was your weekend?
You know, it was Oscar-tastic.
It was. Did you have like an Oscar party?
It was a party of one on the couch.
No.
I mean, my baby husband, my baby, and my mother-in-law were all there, but they were all trying to stay away from me, concentrating on the award show.
Oh, that's right. Because did you have to work for Billboard? Okay.
Yes. If you see the best and worst moments of the show on Billboard.com, that was written by Katie Atkinson.
And you are the perfect person to have on as a guest this week on the Pop Shop.
I am. I'm officially the best and worst moment expert for Billboard.com.
Well, luckily enough, since you're here, I will be talking about the Oscars because the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop. That wasn't a very good segue for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we're discussing all things Oscar.
Oscar, who won?
Lady Gaga took home her first Academy Award on Sunday night.
Yes, Gaga, yes.
Yeah, Pop Shop friend, yes. Lady Gaga. So we'll be talking about what we hope is next for the diva, and now that she has won both an Oscar and a Grammy, we'll be chatting about how we think she can become an EGOT winner. Of course, that is an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Plus, we've got album chart news about Ariana Grande and Drake, and superstar single debuts on the Billboard Hot 100 from Cardi B and Bruno Mars and Zedd and Katy Perry.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Podcasts.
And now let's talk Oscars.
Yes.
So should we just dive right in here?
Yes.
We can now say forever.
Dive into the deep end?
Yeah, let's we are far from the shallow. Mm. Because we can now say forever and for always, Academy Award winner Lady Gaga has a really good ring to it.
I tweeted that last night, and you know, at first I was like, yes, Gaga, yes. And then I'm like, just the simple tweet of Academy Award winner Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Like, you will be forever introduced as, like, no longer you're just like 9-time Grammy Award winner, but now you are Oscar winner Lady Gaga.
You know, and I'm sure that was running through her mind, honestly, as well, because she had a very emotional reaction to it. My brother-in-law was also at my Oscar party on Sunday night, and he was like, is she crying? And I'm like, yeah, she's crying.
Yes.
She just won an Oscar. It's her first Oscar.
Well, what did she win the Oscar for, Katie?
She won for Best Original Song for co-writing Shallow from A Star is Born with Mark Ronson, Anthony Rosimondo, and Andrew Wyatt.
She joins previous Oscar winners who have not only earned a number one album on the Billboard 200 and a number one single on the Hot 100, but have also won an Oscar like Eminem, Adele, Phil Collins, Elton John, Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, and Prince. People forget, I think, that Prince won an Academy Award. He won for, I think, the name of the category was Best Original Song Score for Purple Rain. For the
original
movie Purple
Song
Rain.
Score. Was it? Did they combo the two?
I think they had two different score categories, and I think one was for like musical movies, and Purple Rain was up against like another two musicals that year, but I don't think anyone remembers what they were.
I was kind of thinking last night, especially when Black Panther won for Best Score, I was kind of thinking about, you know, it would be interesting if the Oscars had a best soundtrack album category. And I know that's the Grammys. It's not exactly Oscar territory, but like it does leave out like A Star Is Born didn't get nominated for, you know, score, but they didn't exactly have a score. It was more like a soundtrack. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, point. There actually is a carve out within the Oscar rules. I don't have them in front of me because this was not scripted. if there are enough musical films eligible in a particular year, they can have a category that is like a musical score.
Ooh.
But there has to be a certain number
of competitors, basically.
Yeah, so like if you had a really robust year where it was like The Greatest Showman in Chicago and A Star Is Born.
Which used to happen all the time because there used to be like a dozen movie musicals a year or
something. Sound of Music and Anti-Mame or whatever.
Yeah.
Not Anti-Mame, that's a drama. But anyway, but there has to be enough of those to actually warrant it, which is kind of like some of the craft categories where it's like hair and makeup, there's only three nominees
because
only so many are technically eligible. So right. That could happen.
I'm glad I asked that question because Keith literally had the answer I was hoping for.
So yeah, if you just look up Academy Award rules, somewhere in the music section, it has a carve out for that.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, let's get back to the shallow at hand here. What did you think of that performance?
I thought, lots of thoughts. I thought it was very smart of the producers of the show to stage the performance in a way where the traditional introduction of a performance, which can take like 30 seconds because it's like, and now please welcome to introduce our next best song nominee, Casey Musgraves.
Then
she takes like 4 seconds to walk out. She's like, you know, this movie is special, blah, blah, blah. Camera pans over. That's like 30 seconds
there
of
fluff.
There
was none of that for this one.
So that 30 seconds was basically trimmed out. That chatter was trimmed out, and it was given way to the song itself to have a longer presentation. So I think that way we actually got, like, if you watch the show, hopefully you watch the Oscars, they came out of a commercial break. The camera was at the back of the stage facing the audience, moving in, and you saw a bunch of stagehands on stage finishing setting up something, but you didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
And they all ran off, and then you hear this strum, 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 you know, bit. You're like, oh, Shallow. Maybe they're going to do something like they're presenting, like they're going to talk about how it's a Best Picture nominee. They all leave stage.
And then emerging from the audience,
there's, you know, Gaga and Bradley Cooper. So what happened was, in the amount of time where we normally get the introduction, it actually gave us that sort of kind of longish preamble to the song, because it has a kind of a long instrumental bit at the beginning. In fact, I think they actually did sort of the full length of the song.
Right, and we were worried that it was going to somehow be truncated in a weird fashion. But
yeah.
And you mentioned staging. That's what I spoke about in my little blurb for the best and worst moments. Like, to me, it was like perfectly staged in the sense that we all got kind of a preview of this performance with the video from Vegas of Bradley joining Lady Gaga on stage at her residency. And one of my complaints looking at that was, you know, you miss Jackson Maine having a guitar in his hands, and it seemed like Bradley felt a little awkward, like, what do I do up here kind of thing from that Vegas video. And I also was worried, oh, is Gaga going to be behind the piano again? Because that felt like she kind of disconnected from him when she was behind the piano. Meanwhile, they fixed all of that by having them come up to the stage together. She stares lovingly at him while he sings his first verse. She sits down at the piano, but then he eventually sits down and joins her. And then that brings this closeness, physical closeness, and like, you know, just intimacy for this whole performance. I thought it could not have been better.
It was a great, great staging.
Yes.
If you watch, if you find on Twitter, evidently they got a second standing ovation.
I saw that. Gardner from THR was
the one
who tweeted that. He was in the crowd, and he's like, I've never seen this before at any other Oscars, when Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper came back into the audience from backstage during
a commercial
break, the crowd gave them yet another standing ovation, which he captured on video. So you can see that on Chris's Twitter feed.
It was just a great execution of the song. And yeah, I mean, you know, after all that talk about how, you know, allegedly all the song nominees are going to be whittled down to just 90-second performances, I actually you know, was curious. I'm like, how long are these performances? So I pulled out my iPhone stopwatch, and I timed each of the performances. By the way, only 4 out of the 5 nominated songs were performed. All the Stars from Black Panther was not performed.
I was thinking, I don't know who you would have possibly had perform that song, like, in their stead. It's not like putting Bette Midler up there, you know? Like, you're going to get, like, a different rapper to do Kendrick's verse.
I'm sure Kendrick would be like, no, you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of which, you know, we recorded the show last week when we thought all 5 were being performed, and then later on in the week it was revealed that all the Stars could not be performed.
And we also thought some awards were going to get announced during the commercials when we recorded, but that ended up changing as well.
Well, luckily, yes, but we did not actually say that in the show.
Oh, because Keith did some expert editing.
Yes, we fixed that. Anyway, well, so I timed the performances. Shallow, and this is not including any of the introductions. It's just the actual performance of the song, and these are not perfectly exact. Shallow was about 3 minutes and 40 seconds in total.
Okay.
I'll Fight from RBG was about 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Where the Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins Returns was about 2:25. And When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs was about 2 minutes. And all of those are shorter than the full soundtrack versions heard in their films, but Shallow is pretty close to the full-length version.
Right.
Like, all the parts that you need to hear, like the 2 verses, and, you know, all those parts are there.
Yes.
And the other ones, you know, you might miss some of the song, but you still got the gist of it. But I think when you compare all the performances, 3 out of the 4 were, oh, this is expected.
Mm.
And the 4th one, Shallow, had a very... You felt it was a more special performance.
Yeah.
For some, I know.
The Academy understood what they had there. I mean, it's total lightning in a bottle, like, first and only TV
performance.
It will never happen again. Another thing I said on my piece is, like, if this is the last time we see Jack Semaine and Ali on stage together, it was a pretty great farewell.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, as we already talked about, you know, All the Stars from Black Panther was not nominated.
Not performed.
Yes, sorry. God, of course it was nominated.
It was definitely nominated.
You know, considering the staging they gave Shallow, I wonder what they would have done for All the Stars.
Yeah, All the Stars would have been really cool. Might have gotten the 2 minutes of that 3:40 given to Gaga and Cooper instead.
Well, no. I mean, I would like to think that they probably had that particular staging of Shallow in mind from the jump.
Yeah.
And that when they had to perhaps put in the other nominees that were not, because initially it was just going to be All the Stars and Shallow. And then they went in and added the other 3. The other 3 clearly had shorter performances. So maybe like Shallow ultimately didn't get trimmed that much. Maybe a little bit came off, and maybe part of their, I don't know, who knows. But if their original intent was to do All the Stars and Shallow, and considering what they did give us with Shallow, then they probably had something really cool in mind for All the Stars. But maybe they needed to shorten it more for the broadcast, and maybe logistically and timing wise, it just wasn't going to work out.
Right.
I don't even know if Kendrick was actually at the Oscars. I know SZA was, but I don't know if Kendrick was
there.
Oh,
I didn't even know SZA was there.
I asked Twitter, and someone immediately showed me a picture on Instagram of SZA being there.
Proof of life.
And I was like, you know what? I just should have Googled, because I'm a dummy. Well, Gaga won one of her 2 nominations this year. She actually lost Best Actress, which she was nominated for A Star is Born, to Olivia Colman in The Favourite. More on that a little bit later. More importantly, Katie, how can Gaga get the EGOT, the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony?
It feels like, as we were talking about this a little earlier, it feels like the Oscar is the most challenging one to get.
Fewer categories. Well, it's more challenging to... Well, I think it's challenging to get in general, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why we have an
Unless
entire...
Unless you're Mahershala Ali.
Sure. You just do a movie
and then you're
and
like,
you win.
First 2 out, you get them.
I think it's the hardest for a musician to get, probably. Mm. And... Because, especially if you're not an actor.
Since it's a songwriting award,
well,
too.
I mean, unless you're an actor who also sings. So, like, if you're, like, a Will Smith, like, it's conceivable that Will Smith will win an Oscar one day. You know, like, because he acts and sings on the regular.
Right.
I mean, though he doesn't really do much music anymore. But, you know, if you're a musician by trade and you mostly just do music, then the chance of you getting an Oscar are pretty slim. And also, it's hard to get an Oscar. There's just fewer categories. And, I mean, unless you're also, like, designing... You know, doing production design and costumes on the side, or like producing live action shorts.
So it's like she has the Oscar now.
Got it. That's the hardest one.
Right. And
done.
So
Got the Grammys. Got
the Grammys. Got lots of Grammys. Good on Grammys. Nominated for 3 Emmys already. Like, she has not won them, but she's been nominated 3 times at the Emmys.
They were, like, for TV specials.
Yes, it was for her special with Tony Bennett, Cheek to Cheek. It was for the Super Bowl halftime, and it was for a Monster Ball tour special.
So that seems plausible.
Right. It's like, okay, she's got the momentum in the Emmy nominations.
Maybe the Shallow performance will be nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, there we go. Exactly. Who knows? Then it's like Tony, we've already talked about, like, she can't just do a one-woman show like Bruce Springsteen or whatever. We've talked about that.
You could win, like,
Tony for that.
You can get an honorary, like, you can get a non-competitive Tony, like a special award, but that's not really a proper EGOT.
So, like, what's the Broadway musical that Lady Gaga can pop into real quick?
Sure, real quick. These, like, things take no commitment.
Like, 1 month stint.
Oh, dear.
You know, as Dolly in Hello, Dolly or something.
That worked for Bette Midler.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was on the Oscars. okay, so, you know, I think, you know, what could she do? Well... a revival of something. If Bette Midler did a revival of Hello, Dolly, you know, and that was... It was much ballyhooed and it won Bette Midler a Tony Award.
Yeah.
You know, what revival could Gaga do? Maybe is it a revival of Funny Girl?
I mean, she's followed in Barbara's footsteps before.
Star is Born. I think Funny Girl, the character is a little bit younger. Mm. Like, she's like maybe a teenager, young 20s.
Young 20s.
But I mean, like, when Barbara did Funny Girl, she was younger than is now, because Gaga's like 30.
I mean, you could argue that her playing Allie, who was also supposed to be, like, you know, kind of, you know, not
Gaga is baby.
She hasn't gotten started yet.
So, I mean, that's plausible.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just, you know, gets, like, cast in, like, a great supporting role for, like, a play that has a limited run.
You know what she needs is, like, the equivalent of, like, King George in Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she needs that, but, like where it's, like, literally one show-stopping song.
You just choose some scenery.
She pops in for, like, a month doing one show-stopping moment. That's what she needs. She needs that for a woman.
Yeah, but see, you could never... I mean, maybe with Lady Gaga, you could orchestrate something where you're only in something for a month.
Yeah.
But I mean, when Bette Midler did Hello, Dolly, she was locked into that thing for like 8 months or a year.
Yeah, and like between Gaga's Vegas residencies, plural, and whatever else she has planned, like her dance card's pretty full already, so this would be a while.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a long game. She does it. The thing that's...
Is it really? John Legend already did it.
I mean, it can be a long game.
He won a Tony, though, for producing, like, a play.
Ooh, so there's Gaga's in.
Produce something.
There we go. She could produce something in a second, a.k.a., like, throw wads of cash at it.
She could also, like, write some new music.
Yeah. You know, like a lyrics. Well, not necessarily the Lady Gaga jukebox musical, but, like, something like Elton John has done, right, on Broadway.
He did Aida.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I don't think he won for that, though. No. Hmm. But I think he may have been, I mean, but he has done such a thing.
Yeah.
It was like him and Tim Rice, maybe?
Yeah.
I think after The Lion King.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying it in a very low key because I'm not really sure.
I think all that sounds exactly right.
Okay. So clearly an EGOT is possible.
Yes.
Feels like the Emmy is like going to be in the bag soon enough. Who knows, like Enigma Live.
She's got to be strategic about her Tony.
It's the Tony
that
you need to be strategic about. But I mean, Cyndi Lauper has a Tony. She wrote she wrote
Kinky Boots.
For Kinky Boots.
Duncan Sheik.
In fact, the only thing Cyndi Lauper is only a Oscar away from an EGOT.
Oh, well, so now next Pop Shop episode, strategizing Cyndi Lauper's
friend of the podcast, Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Okay, so beyond this EGOT plan, what do we want to see generally
beyond awards planning.
Lady Gaga coming up? Like, okay, so new album,
sure,
another movie, another tour,
of course.
Are we all just going to go to Vegas and see the residency, which unfortunately is not playing during the Billboard Music Awards? I checked.
is the piano jazz one running?
Nope.
Oh.
Unfortunate. No dates in May. No dates in early May. There is a date like at the very end of May. But sky's the limit for Gaga right now is the point.
I mean, I've already checked. She has nothing in her IMDb film-wise that's coming. So unless they're about to announce something, I don't know what's coming.
I'm very sorry to interrupt, but I'm very curious to see what the next Gaga film looks like, because obviously this one was, she was so incredible in it, but also, as many people have written and talked about, it wasn't hugely far off from her own life story. And so it's like, what will she shine in next as an actress? You know, and does it have to be music based? Or, you know, I think she can handle something that's not, but like, what does that look like?
It's, you know, when you start off so big with something that a lot of people will immediately say, oh, well, it was just, it was the perfect fit for you.
Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls.
Yeah. You know, and she's had a hard time recapturing that moment, you know, so you have to be really strategic with your next pick.
Yeah.
So just don't do anything that comes down the road. So like maybe you do a really juicy, like supporting scene stealing role in like a drama or something where you come in and you pull like some crazy like Mariah Carey moment in Precious.
I was thinking like Judi Dench. You come in for like 2 minutes and you're like a queen of some nature.
We were very divergent with those two. You know, or maybe, you know, you are like sort of the toast of Hollywood right now, you and Olivia Colman. You know, maybe, you know, do you use all these like sort of newfound film connections and Hollywood connections to parlay that into like you can have your pick of amazing scripts and moments now.
Or she could even like develop her own script if she's got an idea and now she has the capital, like the social and professional capital to use to make that happen.
She can be the next, you know, the name of the woman whose name I just forgot who does Nicole Kidman and the other lady, and they have the TV series.
Reese Witherspoon,
thank you.
I'm like, is he talking about Reese Witherspoon,
who, you know, now, you know, produced movies, you know, Drew Barrymore produces movies, and they're, you know, she could be part of that, you know, which is very appropriate for Lady Gaga, you know, a trailblazing woman, like making sort of, you know, production decisions and calling the shots, but also maybe like getting to pick the own movie that she wants to do, and she helps sort of guide it.
Yep.
Call us, Gaga. We've got ideas. Okay, so what other things did we love about the Oscars aside from Lady Gaga? Because there was, you know, it was a 3-hour and 20-something-minute show. You
we
know.
Did not miss Kevin Hart.
Yeah. No,
not him specifically, but just like the host.
You didn't need a host. As it turns out, I was okay with that, host.
If you're concerned about how are you going to open the show, how are you going to get the crowd warmed up, how about you have Queen sing their two biggest stadium, you know, anthems of all time, and then follow it up with three of the funniest women in Hollywood, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, doing a pseudo monologue, like rattling off like, you know, topical jokes.
We're just going to stand here long enough so that people who get USA Today tomorrow morning will think that we hosted the Oscars.
And I mean, they didn't even, it was like they rattled off punchlines that had no jokes. It was hilarious.
It was basically like them doing a abbreviated sort of Golden Globe opening.
Exactly.
That Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have done so incredibly well.
And then it went right into them announcing Best Supporting Actress. It was like so brisk and so like perfectly executed, the whole thing.
And you know, maybe that's the way you do it. Like maybe they're just like, you know what? Maybe we don't need to like hire a host and pay them extra money and have all this rehearsal. And the ratings actually went up this year.
Uh-huh. And you need well-placed presenters in general, because obviously they set the tone, the three ladies did, but then I was obsessed with Melissa McCarthy and Brian Tyree Henry presenting costume.
I loved seeing Daniel Craig and Charlize Theron together as sort of two badass like action hero types.
Yes, I loved Awkwafina and John Mulaney.
Oh, that was
together.
Really good. They were great together. I mean, you know, when you have all these, you have really perfect pairings of people who are professional actors who can read lines, do funny moments. They're in their element.
And maybe even develop their own punchlines and skits and stuff. I'm sure Awkwafina and John Mulaney don't get handed a dumb script ahead of time. They're like, what are we going to do that's funny that's on brand to us?
Right.
You know?
And, you know, also just when you just have, you know, glamorous people together, like, was it Chris Evans and Jennifer Lopez, were they together?
That sounds right.
Sure.
And Chris Evans also got a lot of Twitter love for walking Regina King the stairs in her challenging dress.
And also, if you know, if you were upset that Crazy Rich Asians was not nominated for, I think, anything this year, you got to see a lot of those stars on stage.
Michelle
in some
Yeoh presented, Awkwafina presented.
Did Constance Wu present too?
I don't think I saw her.
Okay.
But maybe she did and I missed it.
Almost every member, it seems like, from Black Panther was there either in audience or on stage at some point.
Yes.
So I checked it, the show was 3 hours and 22 minutes. It was a half hour longer last year.
That's so wild to me because it felt like they didn't really cut off any of the acceptance speeches except for, like, I think there was one that time I heard the music, maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me. Like, it felt like people had, like, luxurious speeches, and yet they still went under time.
Well, they didn't go under time.
Well, they went a half hour less than last year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what happens when you don't have a host.
Yeah.
You know, you have, like
eaten up
monologue and bits in between and whatever. And it was actually the shortest Oscar since 2012. And as we noted, the ratings actually were up a little bit, not by a ton. And, you know, there's still people, you know, people should be still legitimately worried about the ratings in general. But I would imagine folks that produce the Oscars were probably happy with the morning after, you know, in terms of how the show was run. You know, I mean, there were a couple, like, small snafus. Like, you know, they started to play off the Green Book winners at the end when they wanted to, like, say thank you to Carrie Fisher.
Which was crazy. It was interesting that clearly his mic got cut off in-house.
But on TV,
we could hear it.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I love Julie Roberts saying, apparently that's the end of the show. Like, ooh. But also, Green Book was kind of a surprise win. Also, but anyway.
Crash.
Remember Jack Nicholson presenting Best Picture of the Year that Crash and Brokeback were both up, Brokeback Mountain? And he opened up the envelope and he paused and he said, Crash. And the audience was like, oh! Much in the same way when Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Ooh, great THR article, by the way, on that. Did you see it?
The oral history of when.
Yeah, of the awards, like, campaign between
the two
Saving
of them.
Private Ryan and
Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare in Love, yeah.
Which, of course, the campaign was from Harvey Weinstein.
That people can speak freely about Harvey Weinstein, because if they had printed that 2 years ago, it would have looked a lot different.
Other highlights, I love seeing Olivia Colman win for Best Actress for The Favorite. She was just so wonderful on stage with what appeared to be an improvised speech. Clearly stunned that she won, because I think everyone assumed that Glenn Close was going to win for The Wife, and Glenn Close didn't. But of course, Olivia Colman made sure to shout out Glenn Close in a very loving way from the stage.
And Lady Gaga.
And Lady Gaga, which was funny. if you haven't, have you seen The Favorite?
No, and I would love to.
It's great. It's not necessarily what you think you might be expecting.
That's good. So tell me no more than that.
No.
Because I love to not know things going into a movie.
But it was delicious, but also dark and just witty and sharp. And just all the performances are great, but, like, anchored by three really great performances: Olivia Colman, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, I'm super happy Regina King won, but I did hear, like, rumblings that Rachel Weisz was, like, really in the hunt for that.
Oh.
So that supporting actress won too.
Black Panther winning for Best Score was great for Ludwig Göransson.
Indeed.
Spike Lee winning his first competitive Oscar.
That was one of my favorites. First of all, Samuel L. Jackson presented that award.
Perfect.
It was incredible. He was so pumped when he opened up the envelope. And then Spike Lee literally ran into his arms and Samuel L. Jackson scooped him up like a tiny little child. And it was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's great. Okay, well, that is the end of our Oscar chat and end of our show. Kidding.
Yeah.
We have some chart news. Truly, we do. First up, Ariana Grande's Thank You Next album holds at number one for a second week on the Billboard 200 chart. While the set's single, Seven Rings, spends a fifth week at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Now, last week, Grande made history as the first woman and only the second act ever to hold the numbers 1, 2, and 3 spots on the Hot 100, with Seven Rings, Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored, and Thank You Next, respectively. This week, those songs sit at numbers 1, 8, and 4. And the reason all those songs did so well last week was because they were all benefiting in the first week of the album's release. Who was the other act that did this? Oh, just the Beatles.
That's all.
just the Beatles.
Even Ariana was stunned by that.
And when she tweeted, she's like, I thought this was a joke. She's like, I thought this chart that you tweeted, that was a joke.
It's like some fan fiction meme.
It's like, did you all Photoshop something? Yeah. Like, nope, we didn't. As the Thank You Next album holds a number one on the Billboard 200, the album becomes the first by a solo woman to notch more than just 1 week at number one in over a year. The last to do so was Taylor Swift's Reputation in January of 2018, when it clocked its fourth and final non-consecutive week at number one. I go into this a little bit deeper online in my story, so go find my story about Ariana Grande having her second week at number one. I published it on Sunday. It's really actually interesting to see just how male dominant like the past year has been on the album chart, where barely any women have been number one. Yes, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper were number one, but outside of that, you had single weeks at number one for Sweetener from Ariana, Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy, Carrie Underwood's Cry Pretty, and Camila Cabello's self-titled. Otherwise, it's just been like Sausage Fest at number one. Sorry.
So to speak.
It's just been tons and tons of solo men or groups where the groups were entirely men.
Mm-hmm.
Like BTS.
Or Gaga with a man.
5 Seconds of Summer, you know, right. That sort of thing. Yep. So go read more about that. Also on the Billboard 200, another man, Drake.
God.
Drake debuts with his 10-year-old mixtape, So Far Gone. It enters at number five. The album actually debuts following its commercial and streaming release on February 15th. Now, back in 2009, it was released as a free album, you know, as mixtapes are generally. And at the time, our album charts only housed commercially released titles. So basically, So Far Gone was not released by back in 2009, so it didn't chart on our charts. So Far Gone is actually Drake's 10th top 10 album in total. All 10 of his chart entries have debuted in the top 10 and have obviously reached the top 10. Weird side note, So Far Gone has actually charted before, sort of, kind of. Mm-hmm. So back in 2009, after So Far Gone's initial free release, a couple months later, his label, Young Money Cash Money through Republic, took five of the songs from the So Far Gone mixtape and two new songs and packaged them in an EP called the So Far Gone EP. They released it commercially, and that debuted in the top 10 on the Billboard 200. And that was his first commercially released album in the United States and his first top 10 album. Ever since then, all of his subsequent albums have debuted at number one except for this new So Far Gone mixtape. So he's had 10 top 10s. Eight of those have been number ones. Two were just top 10, and both of those were permutations of the same thing, So Far Gone.
And I'll add that the reason it's taken a while for it to actually hit streaming services is because he had to clear both samples and production, like pay for production that wasn't, you know, paid for back then.
So when you have mixtapes, you don't have to get permission.
He had to get Kanye's permission, specifically.
Was Kanye the holdup? There was a sample from a Kanye
track? Well, Kanye tweeted like a month or two ago, like, when he was mad at Drake. And I don't know where they lie now, although I do know that they, you know, at least made this business deal work, and was kind of like laughing about Drake asking permission to release this when they had this other side personal beef about unrelated things. So he kind of was putting Drake on blast. Oh, you're going to ask me to do this when you're not respecting my wife or whatever the deal was at the time.
Well, you can say no.
Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's when it kind of leaked that Drake was trying to do something with So Far Gone.
And we're like, oh, 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
So
Kanye worked.
So I wonder, was it easier? Because he has other samples on there. Like he samples Billy Joel on a track, I think.
Wow.
So maybe it was easier to get Billy Joel than Kanye.
I think it's possible.
Possible.
Billy Joel has a price tag. Kanye holds a grudge.
Yeah, well, you know. All right, so lastly, a couple big collaborations arrive on the Billboard Hot 100. Cardi B and Bruno Mars debut at number five with Please Me. And Zedd and Katy Perry's 365 starts at number 86. A little bit lower than number five. Please Me is the 16th top 10 for Mars and the 7th for Cardi. By the way, they had a previous top 10 together when they did the remix of Bruno's Finesse. I don't know, which one do you like better, Finesse or Please Me?
I have not had enough time with Please Me to answer that question yet.
I think initial
for me, a first Finesse blush hit me Finesse. Like out, it was out of the park for me the first time I heard it. It's the new Jack Swing.
It's like, but if you
reference.
Like, if you like Finesse, you'll like Please Me.
Yeah,
but Please Me is more, certainly more rap and hip hop and Cardi.
Yeah.
But, you know, if, I mean, come on. It's just, they're like chocolate they're, and peanut butter.
Yes, perfect.
Meanwhile, 365 is the lucky 13th chart hit for Zedd and the 30th Hot 100 hit for Katy Perry. All right, now, keeping with the charts theme, let's do the chart stat of the week, but with an Oscar twist.
Hi, kids. Do you like Primus?
Yeah,
wanna
yeah.
see me stick 9-inch nails to each one of my eyelids?
Uh-huh.
Wanna copy me and do exactly like I did? Try to see how to get messed up worse than my life is?
20 years ago this week, Academy Award winner Eminem made his Hot 100 debut with My Name Is. The track debuted at number 79 on the February 27th, 1999 dated Hot 100 chart. The tune peaked at number 36, and it was the first of his, so far, 73 chart hits, and 46 of those were top 40 charting hits. One of those top 40 hits, Lose Yourself, won Eminem the Oscar for Best Original Song in 2003. The song, which was written for the movie 8 Mile, which was inspired by Eminem's life, and it also starred Eminem, was the first rap song to win the Oscar for Original Song. Sadly, Eminem did not show up to the Oscars that year to perform or accept the award, though one of his two co-writers on the track accepted the award on stage. Katie, do you remember who presented the Best Original Song Oscar that year and thus could have had a moment on stage giving Eminem an Academy Award?
No, I don't. So
okay, hint, it was a previous winner in the song category. Legend. Legendary.
I mean, the first... Well, legendary. Are we talking like Babs? Are we back to Barbara?
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand presented Best Original Song.
She loves showing up to the Oscars.
Man, she got a standing O the other night.
I mean, she's Barbara.
She just walks out and everyone stands up.
She's Barbara.
Didn't even say anything.
Led by Richard E. Grant, I'm sure, in the front few rows.
Yes. Well, so there you have it. 20 years ago this week, future Oscar winner Eminem made his Hot 100 debut with My Name Is.
Hi, my name is...
What?
My name is... My name is...
His name's Sadie.
Hi, my name is...
Huh?
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Okay, any parting words, Katie?
Oh, man. What's the next awards show, Keith?
The only award show that matters. The next one is the Billboard Music
BBMA's
Awards.
May 1st.
May 1st. live from Vegas,
live
Vegas,
from Vegas.
Vegas. We might be
Wednesday.
There.
Wednesday, don't forget. It's a Wednesday this year, y'all. Don't forget.
I can't remember the last time it was on a day that wasn't a Sunday.
Not since I've worked here.
Oh, actually, a long time ago, back in the 90s when it was still on Fox, it used to be on a weird weekday.
Mm.
Definitely was. But I mean, not in recent memory has it been on a day that wasn't Sunday.
Yeah.
So yeah, awards. We're out of the film award season.
I Heart Radio Music Awards are on March 14th.
They just announced the ACM Awards. Those must be coming up
soon.
Those
are in April.
I guess that would be the next one.
There'll be one a month for the next few, but nothing like what we've just been through. Nothing like the gauntlet we have just completed.
Nothing like February and March in people's award season calendars. What song should we go out on?
Oh, man. Barbara, Don't Rain on My Parade.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Don't tell me not to fly. I simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? I'll march my band out. I'll beat my...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.